the other day. And you may have heard this story before. It says a Louisiana farmer's favorite mule had fell into a well. And after studying the situation, the farmer came to the conclusion that, well, he couldn't pull the mule out, so he might as well just bury him. And it was his favorite mule. It would be the humane thing to do. So he got a truckload of dirt, backed up to the well, and dumped the dirt on top of the mule at the bottom of the well. But when the dirt hit the mule, it started snorting and tramping. As it tramped, it began to work itself up to the top of the dirt. So the farmer continued to pour dirt in the well until the mule snorted and tramped its way to the top. It then walked away, a dirtier but wiser mule. What was intended to bury it turned out to be its salvation. Many of you have heard this story before about how helpless or hopeless the situation was with the mule at the bottom of the pit. The reality is, before you knew Jesus, you were just as helpless and hopeless as this mule. And if you do not know Jesus, it's time to start snorting and shaking that dust and tramping yourself to the top. I want to begin this message. And it seems it's an odd place to start a message. The last verse in Colossians reads as follows. This salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you, amen. Paul says, remember my chains. You know, it was something about those three words that just caught my eye as I was reading. You know, Paul was giving directions to the church of Colossae, and he had dictated this letter to the scribe that was writing it for him. And he was talking to the Colossians about all the things that were going wrong in the church and how to correct them. And he was dictating this letter. He wasn't writing it himself. But this last sentence, Paul says, this salutation by my own hand. In other words, I'm writing this myself. I want you to know this is me writing. This salutation by my own hand, Paul. And he has these three words. Remember my chains. I don't know what it was about those three words that just caught my eye. But those three words just said something to Leon. I said, Leon, remember my chains. What do you mean, Paul? Remember your chains. I understand, Paul, that you're bondage and you're being carried to court and you're having issues with your captors. But remember your chains, Paul. What do you mean? What are you telling me? Remember your chains. Grace be with you. Amen. So I started thinking about Paul's life. And I started to realize there's more to these chains that meets the eye. There's more to these chains that meets the eye. It's more to it than just chains. As I consider the words of the Apostle Paul, I see some things that I can learn, I can remember about his chains. See, Paul's chains, they remind you of some things. Think about this. Paul's chains, his bondage, reminds me of sin. Reminds me of my sin. Paul's chains, while at the same time reminding me of sin, they remind me of God's grace. And think about this. Paul's chains, though they have him bound, remind me of his service to Christ. So you're saying, okay, Leon, I see what you're saying, but you're gonna have to expound on that. Give me some meat. What are you talking about? I've been watching this series on I don't know if it's NBC, CBS, the Peacock, whichever one that is. NBC, okay. This series is called AD the Bible, right? And I've been paying attention because I'm trying to like see are they going to be accurate? You know how you are. I see some preachers in here. You know how you are when you watch stuff about the Bible on TV. You're like, let's see if they're accurate. It's been relatively close to accurate. And this week they're talking about Paul. You know, last week they talked about Paul and how he was persecuting the church. And this week I saw the previews. I'm excited. I can't wait till 8 o'clock tonight, 9 o'clock tonight, because Paul's going to go on the road to Damascus and he's going to meet Jesus. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. And it kind of brought this idea to my head as I was reading and studying. I was thinking about going into Colossians and talking about Colossians, but I want to talk to you a little bit about this guy, Paul. Paul is an amazing person in the Bible. His name was Saul of Tarsus in Acts. So turn with me to Acts chapter 7. See, before Paul was conducting missionary journeys, writing letters to churches, mentoring preachers like Timothy and Titus, Paul persecuted the church. You know what that means? Have you all been listening to the news, the Christians in the Middle East, how the ISIS people are cutting their heads off if they don't change and convert to Islam? That's persecution. We don't see any persecution here in the United States. We can't say things about gay people, or we can't say things about, you know, sin and stuff like that in public because you could get in trouble. That's not persecution. Persecution is when they come into your house, they kick down your door, they walk in and they snatch you out of your house because you are a Christian. That's persecution. When they're dragging you out into a beach, line you up in a row, and they've got an executioner over you asking you, are you going to deny Christ? And when you say, no, I will never deny Christ, off with your head. That's persecution. We don't see persecution here in the United States. All we see is some inconvenience. Amen. We see a little bit of inconvenience. Well, Paul was a persecutor of Christians. Paul was one of these guys that he truly believed that what he was doing was right. He truly believed that when he persecuted Christians, he was doing the will of God. And the amazing thing is, God saw that in Paul. Let's look at chapter 7. Chapter 7 in Acts, you see Stephen. And Stephen gives the sermon of his life. Stephen explains the gospel from Abraham to Moses, or Moses to Abraham. He explains the gospel in terminology that the Sanhedrin would understand. And then he puts this thing on them. And you all have killed all those prophets. Anytime a prophet came to you about the gospel, the truth, you didn't want to hear it and you killed him. So what do you think they did to Stephen? Well, of course, they killed him. And then verse 8 says this. Chapter 8 says this. I should probably get into the book that I'm supposed to be in. Now Saul was consenting to this, to his death. So Paul was there when Stephen was executed, was martyred, the first martyr. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region. Now, that term right there, they were all scattered throughout the region. I could preach a whole sermon on that right there by itself. Think about this. What is scattered? Scattering is an agricultural term. Scattered, when he said they were all scattered across the regions, it's just like planting seeds. They were scattering seeds, like scattering grass seeds. And when you scatter seed, what happens? Growth. So the church began to grow. See, Paul, although he was persecuting Christians, was helping the cause of Christ. He was helping the cause of Christ. And he didn't even realize it. All across the region, Judea, Samaria, except the apostles and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Paul was gangster, y'all. When it came to persecution, Paul was gangster. Home invasions, kidnappings. I mean, he was getting it done just like a straight up hard gangster. And he was doing this all in the name of what he thought was God. God's will. He was doing this all in what he thought was God's will. Think about that. Paul, the apostle, before he came to know Christ, he was just like you and me. You know, he was anti-Christian. Before I knew Christ, I would be the first one to tell you, I don't want nothing to do with that religion. My wife would tell you, I used to call it the white man's religion. I don't want to have nothing to do with it. And Paul was the same way, except for he had a form of religion. He had a religion that told him that the traditions of our religion were more important than anything else. But the reality is, Paul wasn't paying attention to what the prophets were saying. Saul didn't care about what the prophets were saying. He cared about his tradition. How many of y'all have ever been more concerned about the way things used to be done or the way we do things now than the way things should be done? It happens at work, it happens in the church, it happens everywhere. So sometimes we don't care about what the word says. What is the tradition? What are we used to doing? Well, that was Paul's situation. See, Paul wants to remember his chain here. The chain that reminds us of our sin. See, Paul's chains didn't just bind him to a jail cell, or bind him to a centurion guard, or bind him to a fence, or whatever they were, wherever they had him bound. Paul's chains were a reminder. Paul's chains were something for you to think about. Paul says, "Remember my chain. Remember my chains. Remember my chains. My chains remind me of sin." As I consider Paul's chains, I consider Paul's sin. Later in Paul's ministry, Paul reminds himself. He says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 9, "For I am the least of the apostles. Who am I, not fit to be called an apostle? Because I persecuted the church." You see, once you sin, it doesn't just leave your memory. When you sin, your sin stays with you to remind you. It's like that chain that's attached to you, and is there for a reminder to help you not to commit that sin again. Paul said, "I am the least of the apostles. Who am I, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church?" Paul, I mean, 50% of the New Testament written by Paul. Think about it. And he says to himself, I'm the least of the apostles. My question to you saints, are you considering, are you remembering, are you reminded of your chain? What is your chain? What is your sin? Are you reminded when you walk out the door, when you walk into your workplace, that you have a chain attached to you called sin? And when you walk into your workplace, are you real reminded that there are people there? They are looking at you. They're looking at your walk. They're looking at your talk. They're looking at how you handle situations. Are you reminded of your sin? That chain that Paul says, remember my sin, my chains. That chain that reminds us of sin. Does that chain come to your remembrance when you have the opportunity to do the right thing or to do the wrong thing? Does that chain come to your remembrance when, fellas, when that young lady walks up to you and you know that you got this band on your finger and you know that she kind of cute and she tried to holler at a brother? Are you reminded of that chain? We've made mistakes in the past. Are you reminded of that chain that says, hey, that's sin. Stay away from that. Ladies, are when that gentleman, he smelling all good, he's looking all sharp, he got his suit on tight, driving a fresh ride, but you got that diamond on your finger. Is that chain? That chain of sin, is it saying, hey, back up off it? Amen. Not only that, there's a myriad of sins that should be reminded because of Paul's chain. Paul says, remember my chains. Chains remind you of sin. We ain't going to be here long. Acts chapter 9. We're just going to jump on into this. Chains remind you of his grace. You see, Paul, the chiefest of sinners, as he calls himself, Paul understood that, he was bound by sin. But as he went down this road to Damascus, and he met this man, Jesus, all things became new. Look at chapter 9. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were in the way, Christians, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone all around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground. And when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered and said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name. Therefore, Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, and has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened, and Saul spent some time with the disciples in Damascus. Now, his chains right here. Chains remind us of his grace. You see, Saul was a bad guy. Saul was that guy that would kill Christians. Remember, he was gangster, home invasions, kidnappings. He did what he had to do to stop this gospel from happening. God noticed something about Paul. Jesus noticed something about Paul. Saul is the same guy. He noticed that this guy was fervent. This guy, when he believed in something, he went straight for it. God said, you know what? I could use a guy like that. He's passionate. He has a desire to do God's will. He's not going to quit. He's not going to give up. He's going to press on and press on. He's going to do whatever it takes to do what he felt like God was telling him to do. God's like, you know what? I could use somebody like that. But Saul was also a guy that was intent on squashing the movement of the way. He was intent on stopping Christianity from going forward. So he needed an intervention. So what Jesus did is a up close and personal man-to-man talk. Jesus said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Church, we're believers, right? We know who Jesus Christ is. Have you ever persecuted your brother or your sister? When we're trying to get work done in the church, we're trying to get work done outside the church, have you ever just, I don't think we should do that. We're going to block it. We're going to do whatever we can do to stop this. Are you letting Satan use you at times? There's times when we as believers, we forget the Paul in us and revert back to the Saul in us. We got to make sure that we are Paul-like and not Saul-like. We got to make sure that when we're doing God's will, we're doing it for God's glory, not because of Leon's glory. There's times, I'm going to be honest with you, there's times I want to be glorified. I shouldn't be like that. I want people to say, you did a good job, Leon. I shouldn't be like that. The reality is, Everything we do, we should be doing to the glory of God. Everything we do, we should do to the glory of God. And that's a chain that we can remember. Remember God's grace, because God's grace is the only thing that keeps Saul alive right now. God knew that Saul was persecuting the church. He was killing Christians. He was having Christians killed. He was doing whatever he could do to stop the church. But he got up close and personal. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now Saul, he was wise in that when he saw that, okay, this Jesus thing is real, I should probably join up. For those of you that don't believe, if there's anyone here that does not believe, I'm here to tell you right now, this Jesus thing is real. You might as well join up. Because just like Saul, if God wanted to, he could take your vision. He could take your legs. He could take your life. So you might as well join up. See, when Paul meets Christ on the road to Damascus, his chains, they just elude Christ. They glorify Christ, because those chains are no longer chains of bondage. Those are now chains of grace, chains of love, chains of mercy. You don't have to be bonded anymore. You don't have to be in bondage anymore. The reality is God, Christ, is there to love you and care for you and take you in and to change you like he did Paul here. Paul wasn't just changed on the outside. He didn't just have his eyes covered with scales. Paul was changed. Saul was changed from the inside out. Saul became a new person, a new creation. He was no longer a murderous, killing, person that wanted to destroy the church. Paul wanted to build up the church. See, the thing about Paul didn't even realize it when he was persecuting the church. He didn't even realize that he was helping. It said that they were scattered about. You're scattering, agricultural term, planting seeds. The disciples of Christ would have stayed right there in Jerusalem had it not been for Paul. Jesus told them to go throughout the world, tell everybody about his grace and mercy. But they would have stayed right there in Jerusalem had it not been for our friend Saul. Saul got the church moving. Saul got the church going. Saul, even in his evil and anger, in his attempt to destroy the church, blew it up. It's amazing what God can do through you. Even if you do not believe in Christ today, I don't know what your situation is going to be tomorrow, but he may be using you right now to grow his church. He may be using you right this second to grow his church. And if you know Christ, you know him as your Lord and Savior. You know you have a responsibility. You have a job to do. Your job is to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son. Your job is to teach them about Christ. That's your job. That's our work. Which brings me to my next point. Acts chapter 9. We're going to hang out there just a little bit longer. Verse 20 through 22. Immediately, I'm going to stop right there, because that's important. The word says immediately. At that point, immediately. Does that mean we should delay? Does that mean Saul delayed? That means Saul said right now, when Saul realized who he was and whose he truly was, he immediately preached the Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Immediately, not later on this week. You know, there's sometimes when you have a burden and you know God is calling you to an act or an action, and you know that act or action is going to be inconvenient to you and your family, and God says, but I need you to do this. He's not telling you, you know, let's wait until it gets a little bit more convenient for me or for my family. God said, immediately you have a responsibility to do whatever it is that God is telling you to do. Immediately. Sometimes we want to just kind of ease into it. But immediately is the example that Saul set for us. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on the name of Jesus and has come here for that purpose? So that he might bring them bound to the chief priests. But Saul increased all the more in strength, and listen to this, and confounded the Jews. They didn't know what to do with him. They were confused, who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. You know, when we get that burden, I still remember when I was called into the ministry, and I'll be honest with you, I was not ready, but God was calling me. And my wife was like, right. 'Cause she knew me. She knew Leon. She had an intimate relationship with Leon. She could see Leon's imperfections, and I had and still do have plenty. But when that conversation came with me and the pastor, he immediately put it on the schedule. This is when you're going to do your initial sermon. And I immediately started studying and working on this sermon. And when I came up here to speak, I immediately opened up my Bible and began to preach God's word. Now, was I good? Not immediately. But the reality is, you do God's will when God tells you to do his will. And Saul immediately did what God told him to do. And he confounded the Jews. He confounded the people of Damascus. No one knew what to do with Saul. Saul was who is this guy? This was the guy that was persecuting the Christians. This is the guy that was killing the Christians. This is the gangster. This is the guy that was kicking in doors, busting in houses, kidnapping men and women, taking them to prison, putting them in jail, killing them. And immediately, he began to preach the gospel. See, these chains, I hear the song, break every chain, break. I don't want my chains broken. I want my chains on me to remind me. I want to be reminded of my sin. I want my chains on me to remind me. I want to be reminded of his grace. His mercy, because if it was not for his grace and mercy, if it was not for these chains, I wouldn't be the man that I am today. I want to be reminded to serve. That was the last chain. Chains remind you to serve, and that's what Saul's doing here. He's serving. He's doing what God has asked him to do. He's serving. His ministry is preaching to the Gentiles. And he stepped right into that ministry from day one. What's your ministry? I don't care if your ministry is children. I don't care if your ministry is adults. Your ministry may be serving coffee and being a great host. But jump in there and do your ministry. Do what God has asked you to do. Immediately. Do it right now. Because that's what God is telling us to do. We don't have a choice in the matter. You either do it the way he asked you to, or you allow him to push you into it. And I can tell you, when you allow him to push you into it, it's usually not very fun. Been there too. In conclusion, I told you we weren't going to be here long. Chains, they remind us of our sin. Chains remind us of his grace. Chains remind us to serve. Romans 1:1, Paul says these words, "I, Paul, a bond servant of Christ." A bond servant of Christ. A slave to Christ. What are you a slave to? Are your chains bonding you to Christ? Or are your chains bonding you to the world? That's the question. With that said, let us pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify your name. Father, I just ask you today, Lord, to help us as we decide which chains we're going to be reminded of. Are we going to be reminded of chains that bond us to sin, or chains that just remind us of our sinful nature in order to keep us close to you? Are we going to be reminded of our chains that remind us of your grace? Or will we run from your grace? Father, are we going to be reminded of our chains that remind us to serve? Or will we duck and dodge our responsibility in Christ? Father, I ask you to help us to be reminded of the chains that Paul reminds us of. Paul says, "Remember my chains." Lord, I ask you to remind us of his grace. Remind us of our sin and remind us to serve. Father, we love you. We praise you and we honor you. Father, right now, if there's anyone in this place that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, Father, I ask that you would open their hearts right now. Father, I pray for anybody here that doesn't know you, that they would open their heart to you right now. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you haven't joined the team, Team Christ, I'm asking you right now to pray with me and come to Christ. With all eyes closed, heads bowed, Father, if anyone is here that doesn't know you, say this prayer with me and believe it in your heart and in your mind and in your soul. Father, right now, I commit myself to Christ. I change my life. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And I want to be changed, and I want to be a believer, a Christian right here today. Father, I thank you that he died on the cross and rose again, and now he's at the right hand of the Father. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit comes into my heart today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, if anybody in here, if that was your prayer, would you just raise your hand right where you're sitting? Amen. Amen. I see that hand.